Blog Talk Radio.
Calls.
until you look for Calvin, who's not going to even be there.
Yeah, they can try tricks on somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Calvin has a phone. He can call from a direct number. And the only reason you call from 111 number is if you're hiding something.
Oh, you're calling him from Skype, too. He's
plain and simple.
Yeah, Skype will be a 111 call. Okay, well, I'm gonna play some music here. Okay, here we go.
I've been down in the dark, got holes in my heart, burned soles on my boots from all the hell that I walked through. Lie awake in the night, praying for a little light, running down all my fears, but you'll never see my tears hit the ground. Heaven help me now.
Before I could stop, you lifted me. Before I could walk, you ran to me. Before I could let you die for me. No greater love than what you've done. Before I could stop, you lifted me. Before I could walk, you ran to me. Before I could let you die for me. No greater love than what you've done. In my heart, you'll pay your love. In my soul, I'm forever just. In my life, I'm trusting you alone. In my heart and in my soul.
Devotional that I've got prepared for you tonight. It's called Do You Excuse Your Own Sin? Well, we all know the deadly nature of sin. We are often unaware of its subtle sidekick, the excuse. Excuses convert the seriousness of sin into a simple shoulder shrug. It was just a mistake on a tired night. No big deal. Not my fault. And just like that, we are downgrade our greatest of offenses against God into something light, even meaningless. Instead of owning our sin, we excuse it. Instead of killing sin, we explain it away. Our sins become nothing worse on our minds than the kind of error kids make playing soccer. This grown-up excuses, this was the moment, the perfect pass right in front of the goal. I could finally be the 12-year-old soccer star I was made to be. I could hear my mom cheering with loudly in the background as I drove my leg towards the ball. But I missed. I completely whipped. Chance over, dream gone. Where did my mind go in that next moment? The grass was slippery, the sun was in my eyes. I caught my cleat on the grass right before the pass. On and on they went. I needed excuses to calm me down. It wasn't really my fault. Cute excuses don't stay on the new soccer field. As we grow up, so do our excuses. We move from dismissing soccer goals to disregarding fits of anger. From explaining away dirty rumors to rationalizing clips of sexually explicit websites. We mindlessly say, I got angry at my wife because I was tired. And with a small excuse, we acknowledge sin but reason that it was okay. But it's not okay. Our heritage of blame shifting. See, we're certainly not the first to excuse our sins. So think of a handful of biblical blame shifters. All of them know they have sinned, but they try to explain it away. Adam offered an excuse in the garden as he pointed his finger at Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. Aaron left the blame for the golden calf on the people. Exodus 32, verses 21 to 24. Saul tried to excuse his unlawful sacrifice on the technicality that Samuel was late in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. See, excuses have been wreaking havoc since the beginning, and the worst part is on any given day, we don't even realize we're making excuses. We can't give up fighting sin just because we can explain how it happened. Like carbon monoxide, excuses lurk around undetected, carry a deadly poison. Each excuse has its own toxic formula. See, I did that because I was in such a hurry. They were yelling, so I started yelling. I was right, and they weren't listening. Okay, you see, these excuses try to trick us into accepting sin because it's my wife's fault, or traffic's fault, or because it was a result of my exhaustion. In short, excuses make sin an inevitable outcome instead of a deadly killer. See, the real problem is situations do not cause people to sin who choose to sin. Work may put stress on you, but you choose to cut corners. Your wife may unfairly criticize you, but you choose to respond with passive aggression. Traffic may be heavy, but you choose to respond with angry outbursts all the way to work. Circumstances do not force us to sin. They only help reveal our sin. No matter how much the cards may seem stacked against us, our sin is always a choice we make. Not only that God calls us to fight sin, no matter the cause, the call to kill sin remains just as much in force when we are tired as when we are awake and chipper. Paul reminds us, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. See, the mentality that does not take a vacation when life gets challenging. Rather, Paul reminds us that God calls us to kill sin all the time. We can't give up fighting sin just because we can explain how it happened. So we need to own it. Finally, whenever we use excuses, we have to come to terms with the fact that we have exchanged confession for the cheap substitute of an excuse. Whatever the excuse, all of a sudden we find ourselves walking in the dark side all claiming to be in the light. That's 1 John chapter 1 through 8. I mean, 1 verse 8. We have fallen into sin, and instead of owning the sin, we walk around saying nothing to see here. This was not my fault, no sin here. But this exchange comes at great cost. In this moment, our excuse is not only let sin slowly suck the life out of us, they rob us of the joy God wants to deliver us as he forgives and cleanses us for our sin. See, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. See, every time we dismiss these sins, we miss the grace of God as a tailor made to cover our sins. God really does have grace to meet every failure, but receiving that grace starts by confessing this sin. I actually didn't clean the kitchen today because I struggled with selfishness. I went to the website again to satisfy the ugly lust of my heart. I got angry last night because I put my interests ahead of yours. After confessing those truths to God and to one another, we can rest knowing in John, in 1 John 1, 9, does not have a blacklist of sins that doesn't receive the lavish grace God has to offer. No matter how dark things get when we throw off excuses and expose the sin, God's grace will shine brighter. God really does have grace to meet every failure, but receiving that grace starts by confessing the sin. See, with this confession, God not only promises to forgive us, but also to cleanse us. He wants us to confess our sins and then feel an immeasurable grace that washes it all away with that declaration. There is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1. And this cleansing is meant to lead us into a new life, John says. I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Okay? Confession, then, is not only hope for forgiveness and the promise of cleansing, but our only hope to change. So no more hiding. The good news is that God's grace assures us that we can be a kind of people who are happy to our own shortcomings, the kind of people who have stopped hiding behind excuses. As ugly as our sin can get, grace allows us to abandon excuses because the promise of forgiveness and cleansing lies on the other side of confession. Every confession brings sin out of hiding and into the light. John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. And God has promised that when we bring sin into the light, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Well, this brings us to the end of our sermon devotional. Okay? So now, let me ask you this question. Do you know the Lord, your Savior, as your personal Lord and Savior tonight? If you do not, that's okay, because in a moment I'm going to give you a chance to. But let me ask you, are you tired of living the way you are, not knowing which way to go? Your life's upside down, okay, or it's out of control? Or maybe you suffer from depression or some sort of anxiety, or maybe you suffer from some kind of addiction versus alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality, okay, gambling, overeating, gaming, internet, whatever it may be. You see, the Lord can take it away, but in order for him to do so, guess what, folks? He's got to know you. If he doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. So, I'm asking you, are you willing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior tonight? If so, simply pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. So please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you to the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And if you said that prayer, we would like you to call in to area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487. And then press the 1 key to come on live. When you press the 1 key, we know you want to come on live, and you can tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, okay, tonight. Okay, because right now the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, okay, all the angels and everyone in heaven is rejoicing. So won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen. So, I'm going to play a song, okay? Okay, that expresses the need of an altar call. Here we go.
Jesus is calling.
I'm going to take a caller and find out. Did you decide to accept the Lord tonight?
Yes, Pastor King, I did.
Amen.
How are you this evening? My name is Hector.
I am doing well. How are you?
I am good. I really enjoy your show. It's very good.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
This is one of the first times I've listened, but I've learned many things, Pastor King.
Okay, that's great. What did you learn?
Well, I learned that I need the Lord in my life, Kenny. Yes.
Amen. Amen. All right, you don't need to just stop here. You know, by saying this prayer, this is a starting thing. You need to try to find yourself a church, or if you want to, make this your church home. Okay, come listen, you know, regularly. Okay, you need to get baptized, though, okay, by water and by the Holy Ghost. You need to read your Bible, okay, and pray for yourself and others.
Yes, I read my Bible faithfully, Ken, Pastor Ken. I read it all the time.
That's good.
Sorry, I'm a little nervous calling in. I don't usually call the show.
That's all right. That's all right. Okay, you can relax here. Ain't nobody's going to bother or hurt you. Okay.
Thank you.
Relax. Atmosphere, okay? You don't have to be nervous.
Amen, Pastor Ken. Thank you very much. I feel at home already.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I want you to feel at home. I mean, this is a place where we worship and we try to get together and save folks. Like, you accepted the Lord tonight. That's great. Okay. Like I said.
Yes. Pastor Ken, I have a question. Do you take many call on this show? The interactive show?
Well, normally I did, but I stopped taking calls because I was getting a lot of tomfoolery. Okay.
Oh, yes.
You know,
I understand. I understand. It's always good to hear many people's testimonies, though. It's very, very uplifting.
Yes, right. That's what I want to come on to this program. I want people to give testimony, praise reports. Okay, if they want prayer, okay, they can ask for prayer. Just like
Pastor Ken, did you say that a man named Thomas Foolery called in to the show?
I was saying tomfoolery, as in like trolls. Okay.
Oh yes. Sorry, I get confused.
That's okay. Okay. Tomfoolery is an expression.
It's like an American thing. You say U.S. of A. You say that. I understand.
Well, yeah, it's an expression, okay, of saying, you know, people be trying to be funny.
Pastor Keen, my name is Hector. If you did not hear that before, I call in from Guatemala. That's why the number is probably strange, but I want you to know that I want to start listening to the show and become part of your ministry, if that is okay.
Yes, it's a blessing. I would love to have you, okay, Hector, to be listening to the program, okay.
Yes, I like this very much. I like this very much.
Thank you. Tomorrow we're going to have church service at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Okay, so...
I don't think I can fly up to be in your church service, but I might be able to do it next week.
No, it's on the radio.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's on the radio. I have the church service on the radio.
Yes, I get it now. I get lost in translation sometimes. My English not so good.
That's okay. You're doing just fine, my brother.
I appreciate you, Pastor Ken. I really, you are a really nice man for taking my call, and I feel much more at ease than I did when I first called. I was very nervous, scared. I don't usually call a show, but I hear the show and it moved me to tears, and I want to call in and take the Lord and take the Lord into my heart, Kenny. Pastor
Ken. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Do you go by Kenny or Pastor Ken?
I go by Pastor Ken, but you can call me Kenny.
Okay. I want to be respectful. Pastor Ken is probably best. I will stick to Pastor Ken.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. We've got another caller. I want to take that. So sit back.
Thank you,
and
my friend. My friend. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome, my brother. Okay, and I'll be hoping you call in and listen to the church show tomorrow. Okay, at 5 p.m.
I would definitely do that, Pastor Ken. Thank you so much for being such a kind man and to taking my call tonight. And I will talk to you soon, my brother.
Sounds great. Bye-bye. Okay, we got another caller. Did you decide to accept the Lord Jesus Christ tonight?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, hello, I can hear you.
Hey. Well, I am just thrilled that Hector found the Lord tonight and he decided to call in. I would like to thank him and welcome him to the GRM family.
Amen.
That is just so great, and I'm so glad that you decided to start taking callers again. That is wonderful. Did you receive the donation from Mad Mark by chance today?
What donation?
He was supposed to be he sent a love offering. It's a gift.
He didn't receive it. He sent me some cigars.
Amen. And how many did he send us?
How many did he send me?
To the minister, yes.
He sent me 5.
Hallelujah. All right. Okay. Well, that is perfect. Thank you so much, Mad Mark. We're going to be handing those out to the homeless individuals in the San Antonio area. Isn't that correct, Ken?
No, those are for me to smoke.
Well, no, they're for the ministry.
No, it's not for the ministry. He gave it to me personally. Okay? Not the ministry.
I'm pretty sure that he gave it to the ministry, but that's
no.
Neither here nor there. What's on the agenda for tonight?
We got a Bible reading that's going to happen in a few minutes. Okay,
amen. What chapter and so forth? Which book of the Bible?
It's
going
to be Deuteronomy, okay, chapter 2, verses 16 through 37.
Amen. All right. And also, I was calling to see the sermon that you're giving tomorrow, is it going to be a self-written sermon or one that somebody else wrote?
Well, I guarantee you this way. Whatever is going to be, okay, is going to be a well-given sermon. okay?
Amen.
And the people are going to love it, okay?
Hallelujah.
Whether I wrote it or someone else writes it, it doesn't matter. It's going to be a well-given sermon.
Well, I just think that you should utilize your God-given talents and your intelligence and your knowledge and your education and your life experiences. I think that it would be great for you to start writing your own sermons. Don't you think so too, Pastor Ken?
Well, I have in the past, okay?
You just have such a fascinating life story and the things that have happened to you and the trials and tribulations that you've lived through. I mean, I just think that people would be amazed and fascinated, you know, but if they don't know you on a personal basis, I mean, they would have no idea, you know?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
So, well, is there maybe like a personal story that you would like to share with us tonight?
No, not tonight. Okay, I got another caller that is waiting to be heard. Okay, I believe it's Pastor Harold from Atlanta.
Pastor Harold from Atlanta. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm unfamiliar with Pastor Harold from Atlanta. Could you give us maybe a little background on him? Or
is he friends with Wanda? This is Pastor Harold from Atlanta. It's Kenneth Hopper's brother.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Well, is he blessed with the as much as Pastor Ken is about the word and knowledge and such?
Well, I believe he's more blessed.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that there was such. Wow. Well,
yeah.
That is great. Is he, okay. Well, so I'm sure that he's part of the Abbott House of Ministry too then, huh?
Well, he originally started Abbott House International Ministries in Atlanta.
Right.
And it was Kent that copied him.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. Well, that's kind of like what, like when you started HGM Ministries, and then Kent took it over and took it, you know, to the next level. Maybe he can, maybe that's what he did with the Abbott House, you know? He made it grow.
I don't think so. Because, see, if Kent really took anything anywhere, he'd still be on the air today. Okay?
Well, not necessarily. He's working on his education.
Yeah, and the money's right up. Yeah. Okay.
Well, not necessary. I mean, but why are you attacking Pastor Kent like that when he's not on air to defend himself? That's I don't think that that's right. I mean,
well,
if you said that to him while he was on the phone, I mean, but
I'm always speaking the truth.
Well, okay. Well, if Pastor Kent called in, would you allow him to defend himself? Because if not,
I wouldn't allow him to respond at all.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say anything negative about him because that's not fair to him.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, I'm only gonna take the next caller.
Okay. Well. But I just want to say that I'm so happy that Hector called in, and I hope he continues to listen, and I hope that you continue to keep taking calls and allowing people to reach you and for you to minister to people personally on a personal basis. So, all right, then. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing from Harold, and you have a wonderful day, Pastor Ken, okay?
You too.
All right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Hello, is this Pastor Harold from Atlanta?
Good evening, Pastor Kit. How are you?
All right. How you doing?
I am very blessed. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm blessed and highly favored.
It is a beautiful sermon. Very, very inspirational. I must say, you are an international man. You have
Save a soul tonight. Okay.
It sounds like you saved two souls. Because you...
Yes, we're all about the soul-saving business.
Amen. You've entered the congregation. Yes, you've entered the congregation.
Say what?
Entered the congregation. You've entered the calling, eh?
Yeah, it's my calling. Okay, to save souls. Yes, amen. Okay?
It is a beautiful day, and it's a beautiful sermon, and I just wanted to call and show me my support like we talked about and we promised. And I don't like to speak ill of anyone, but the gentleman called before, you know, he sounds like he's the follower of my brother, but he needs to see the true light.
Yes, I pray for him. I really do. Okay? I hope your brother comes to see the light. Okay? I know the Abbott House International Ministries was yours in Atlanta. Okay? And he decided to run with it. Okay? And
I had very negative publicity because of him. He stole lots of my money for the ministry. It was meant to go for a good cause. I don't believe he used it in a holy way.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either. Okay.
Well, amen. And God bless you, Mr. Kim.
Say what? I couldn't hear that.
I said amen, and God bless you, Pastor Ken.
Well, God bless you, Pastor Harold. Okay, we got another call. I got to take it, and then we got to do the Bible reading.
Well, sounds like a great idea to me.
Okay. Well, be blessed there, Pastor Harold. Keep listening to the show. Okay?
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air, 432.
Hello, is this Pastor Ken?
Yeah, it's Pastor Ken.
Hey, let's have some hot phone action tonight.
No, it's okay, thank you.
Hey, no, he might have, no.
Okay, anyway... I'm going to bring Tony over. He's going to do the Bible reading for tonight. It's titled Initial Victories and Settlements.
How the time flies. You going to make it out of that chair?
Yeah, I'm going to make it. This is the old knees.
Sometimes I wonder. Hey, y'all, that time again. I'm here. Throat's feeling better. But we're going to make it quick. I want to read to you from the Bible tonight. I want to read to you the word the way it was written, the way it was meant to be shared, the way it was meant to be heard. All right, we're going to start with Deuteronomy 2:16-37. So it was, when all the men of war had finally perished from among the people, that the Lord spoke to me, saying, "This day you are to cross over at Ar, the boundary of Moab, and when you come near the people of Ammon, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the descendants of Lot as a possession." There was also regarded as a land of giants. Giants formerly dwelt there. But the Ammonites called them Zamzummim, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Achaemen. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they dispossessed them, and they dwelt in their place, just as he had done for the descendants of Esau, who dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them. They dispossessed them and dwelt in their place, even to this day. And the Abram who dwelt in the villages as far as Gaza, the Carithium, who came from Kadaphor, destroyed them and dwelt in their place. Rise, take your journey, and cross over the river Amron. Look, I have given into your hand Shihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations, under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. And I sent messengers from the wildness of Kedemoth to Shihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through your land. I will keep strictly to the road, and I will turn neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot, just as the descendants of Esau, who dwell in Seir, and the Moabites, who dwell in Ar, did for me, until I cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord our God is giving us. But Shihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hands as of this day. And the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Shihon and his land over to you. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit his land. Then Shihon and all his people came out against us to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him over to us. So we defeated him, his son, and all his people. We took all his cities at the time, and we utterly destroyed the men, women, and little ones of every city. We left none remaining. We took only the livestock as plunder for ourselves, with the spoils of the city which we took, from Aroer, which is on the bank of the river Anon, and from the city that is in the ravine as far as Gilead. There was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all to us. Only you did not go near the land of the people of Ammon along the river of Jabbok, for as to the cities or to the mountains and wherever the Lord our God has forbidden us. Then he turned and went up the road to Bashan. The Og king of Bashan came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said to me, do not fear him, for I have delivered him and all his people and his land into your hands. You shall do to him as you did to Shihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon. So the Lord our God also delivered into our hands Og, king of Bashan, with all his people, and we attacked him until he had no survivors remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we did not take from them. 60 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, besides a great many rural towns, and we utterly destroyed them, as we did to Shihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. But all the livestock and the spoils of the city we took as booty for ourselves. And at the time we took the land from the hand of the two kings of the Amorites, who were on this side of the Jordan, from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon, the Sibarons called Hermon Sharon, and the Amorites called it Senir. All the cities of the plain, all Gilead and the Bashan, as far as Salkar and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedsteed was an iron bedsteed. It is not in Rabbath of the people of Ammon. 9 cubits is its length, and 4 cubits is its width, according to the standard cubit. And this land which we possessed at the time for Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half of the mountains of Gilead and its cities, I give to the Reubenites and to the Gadites. The rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, the kingdom of Og, I gave to half of the tribes of Manasseh. And all the region of Argob with all Bashan was called the land of the giants. Jer, the son of Mashish, took all the region of Argob as far as the borders of the Jezreelites and the Mashanites, and called Bashan his own name, Havoth Jer, to this day. Also I gave Gilead to Mashir, and to the Reubenites and to the Gadites I gave from Gilead as far as the river Arnon, the middle of the river as the border, as far as the river Jabbok, the border of the people of Ammon, the plain also, with the Jordan as the border. From Cimareth as far as the east side of the Sea of the Abarim, well, the Salt Sea, below the slopes of Pisgah. Then I commanded you at the time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All your men of valor shall cross over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel. But your wives, your little ones, and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, shall stay in your cities, which I have given you, until the Lord has given rest to your brethren as to you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them beyond Jordan. Then each of you may return to his possession, which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So go. Will the Lord do it to all the kingdoms through which you pass? You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. Amen. See, you have the Lord on your side. You can go through all sorts of things. He will get you there, take you there. All you have to do is believe and do as he asks.
Amen.
We're going to go to Psalms 31:6-8. I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. And then, you know, we go a little dark for the end of the night. Well, Proverbs 10:30, the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. Proverbs 10:30.
Amen.
Thank you for allowing me into your ears again, to your hearts, your souls, your minds, wherever you decide to take me, and for letting me share the word. It's Saturday night. I won't be with you tomorrow. I will not speak to you again until Tuesday at the same godly time, same godly channel, when once more I'll bring the word to you the way it was written, the way it was meant to be shared.
Amen. Amen. And you read that with passion.
I mean.
Yes. I mean. Passion. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, it's getting close to that time, okay, where the show is getting ready to come to an end, okay? So I'm going to give prophetic word tonight, okay? And this goes out to all those who need it, and you know who you are. The Father says today, I will satisfy you with my goodness. I know you are longing for more. I hear the cry and hunger in your soul. You will not go unanswered. When your heart is heavy, I will send from above and make you glad again with goodness of my word and my promise. Do not allow the challenges and problems around you to weigh you down or crush you. Refuse to borrow trouble from what may or may not happen tomorrow or the next day. My grace operates on a 24-hour cycle. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Drink deeply of my deliverance and apply to today's difficulty, knowing I will be on hand again tomorrow with manna in the morning and water from the rock to strengthen and refresh you. I am with you today. I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Others have suggested I have hung you out to dry, but that is not who I am. That is not what I do. I never delight to abandon my children or dangle them over the flames of some fiery trial. You're going to make it. You're going to make it through and come out on top. There is no need to rush around trying to protect yourself from the evils real or imagined. I say to you, be careful for nothing. When worries press in upon you, say out loud, I could care less. When you want to push the panic button, open your mouth, and with an act of your will, give thanks. Go ahead and dance in advance, because I am infusing you with boldness and confidence and faith to get through the challenge and come out shining with victory and glory. Amen. Well, like I said, you know who you are. that needs that prophetic word. And I hope it blesses you tonight. Amen. All righty. Well, I'm going to play a song.
Well, let's not leave him there with a bunch of empty space. Why don't you announce the show for tomorrow and the show for Tuesday?
Oh, okay. Well, I can announce the show. Okay. So tomorrow's show is going to be God's Rainbow Christian and Messianic Tabernacle Church service. It'll be held at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then Tuesday night, we're going to have another episode of Purpose Gospel Radio, okay, which we do Monday through Saturday, okay. So we hope to see you all, okay, there. Okay, for the church service and Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Amen. All righty. Okay, well, let's play a song here. now Tony's going to come over and give us the closing prayer. Okay.
I forgot. I thought I was gone for the evening. No. May all of you leave tonight. May all of you be blessed. We hope you enjoyed the last 90 minutes. We hope when you go tonight, you know that God's light is with you. It covers you. It protects you always. So get up in the morning, know you're loved, know you're cared for, and remember that we here at God Rainbow Ministries love you, because it's not about your sexuality. It's about your relationship with God.
Amen. All right, and I'm going to play a song to take us out. Okay, here we go. Long week ahead of you. May it be blessed. Amen. Bye-bye.